Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're continuing to make our way through St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. We've been working on it all week and made it all the way through, well, not even all the way through chapter one. The writing of St. Paul is so rich and so packed with truth that applies directly to our lives right now, no matter what circumstance we're in, and it's transformative. It has the power to change us. What I want to talk about today in particular is the starting in verse 15 in chapter 1, is the supremacy of Christ. One of the central themes of the letter is Paul is teaching, given an apologetic, a catechesis or something, of just describing the majesty, the glory, and the power of Jesus. Jesus is entirely unique. There is no one like him. He's not just a great man. He's not a demigod of some kind. He's not just a great spiritual guru and wise man. He's the only Son of God. He is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made. He's one in being with the Father, like the Creed tells us. Jesus is Lord of all. All power and authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. That's why Jesus is the only Savior of the world. He's the only one that became one of us and died for our sins and shed his blood and was raised from the dead and has taken in himself human flesh from death to life and taken it up into glory. And he's reigning at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And because of that, humanity has a future. Because of that, we have a destiny. And we can share in and inherit what belongs to him. But here's the beautiful hymn and articulation by St. Paul of talking about the preeminence of Jesus, his supremacy. Verse 15, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through the blood of his cross. Praise be Jesus Christ. He is Lord forever and ever. So verse 15, let's just look at some of the things that Paul is saying. So Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus said to see him is to see the Father. Jesus reveals the true nature of the Father. You know, the full curtain, the full revelation of God. It was the mystery of God was hidden for ages and it was slowly revealed. You could see in Genesis and in the story of Noah, ultimately then Abraham and Moses, that God's revelation built and built through the prophets. And ultimately, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son into the world, Jesus. And Jesus reveals to us who God the Father is, who God the Trinity is, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, again, to see him is to see the Father. And what is God, he tells us? God is love. Fundamentally, God is love. And Jesus says, as the Father loves me, so I love you. And as the Father loved me, so he loves you. And the whole point of Jesus' revelation is to reveal the love of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die but have everlasting life. So Jesus makes visible the fullness of who the Father is. And he's the firstborn of all creation. It doesn't mean that he's a creature. Jesus is not a creature. He's a divine being. He's begotten of God. In this commentary on the passage from the Ignatius Catholic Bible study, I'll read it to you if I can find it here. The print's kind of small. It says, he's the firstborn, the term for the eldest child, with emphasis on the legal right of inheritance, from Deuteronomy 21:15. Since Christ is the first and only natural son that is begotten of the Father, he is the designated heir to the Father's estate, which is the entire cosmos. Paul's point is not that Jesus is the noblest part of creation, but that Jesus has the filial right to possess all of creation as his inheritance. Isn't that awesome? Jesus literally, and we hear it in Paul's words as he goes on. So in verse 16, he says, for in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, invisible and visible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or authorities. Nothing, in other words, nothing is higher than Jesus. No angel, no demonic power, no world force, no order of the order of the angels and the order of the kingdom of the devil, whatever's there in terms of authority and power, none of it compares to the power and the glory and majesty that's in Jesus. All of it was made through him. He's the Logos. He's the Word of God from which all things came to being. It was through the Son. He says, all things were created through him and all things were created for him. That means you too. You came to be through Jesus, the Word of God, and you were made for him. That's why the Father sent the Son, to bring back those who were made through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Ever hear the phrase, you know, hold it together, man? But Jesus is holding the cosmos together. He's holding our being together. You exist because he's brought you into being, and he's holding you into being. And if we die in him, if we live in him, we die in him, we're going to inherit what belongs to him and come into all that he has destined for us. He's the head of the body, the church. This is really important. The church is a supernatural reality. The church is an organism born of the Spirit of God. And Jesus is the head of this new race of people called the body of Christ, called the church. And he has all authority over the church, as he has all authority over everything. He's the beginning, he's the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. He was there in the beginning of all things. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the one that passed from death to life. Eternal life was in him, and death could not hold him down. He swallowed up death in victory, St. Paul will tell us. He made a mockery of the devil's attempt to enslave the human race in eternal darkness. Jesus passed from death to life. He's the first. The new creation was born in Jesus and exists in Jesus. And the glory of God is in the person of Jesus and flows from him for the salvation of the world. The only way people can enter into glory is if they receive it from Jesus. It belongs to him. It's his inheritance. For in him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The pleroma is the word, the fullness, the very fullness of God. And this is where people want to reduce Jesus. They want to empty the figure in the person of Jesus of his total and absolute majesty and authority. They want to say, no one's going to say he's a bad man, but they want to say, well, yeah, he's a great teacher. He's a great prophet. He's a revolutionary. He's a spiritual guru. He's all these different things people want to say he is. But what he is he's the God-man. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's Jesus Christ the Lord. Peter said, Acts 2, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, coming out of the upper room on the day of Pentecost, God has made this one, Jesus, Lord and Christ. Lord, all power and authority in heaven and earth belong to Jesus. Everything is subject to Jesus. And to be healthy is to live in subjection of Jesus. To be of a depraved mind and a screwed up mind is to pretend that the king doesn't exist and that there is no order. And that you're the king, I'm the king of my little world and my little creation. I'm not the king of anything. I'm the king insofar as I can reign. I'm reigning with the Son, who is the Lord of all. I'm a child of God, but I live under God's order and in God's way. That's the only place, that's the only way, friends, to sanity, is to acknowledge his kingship and majesty in the fullness of God. That's why we worship Jesus. We worship Jesus as God because he is God. He's the Son of God, begotten of the Father, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through the blood of his cross. What the devil meant for the destruction and the mockery of the Son of God and the humiliation of being nailed to wood in his flesh, being beaten, bruised, bleeding, pierced, killed, that curse, Jesus transformed it. It's the instrument not by which he was put away, but it's the instrument by which we are saved because of the precious shedding of his blood, his holy and precious blood, his lifeblood, the blood of the Son, offered up in obedience to the Father and for our sake to take away sin. And he made peace, it said. He made peace, right? What's that peace? It's peace between us and God the Father. Peace between Jew and Gentile. Peace, hopefully, between every race of people. That's what it's for. peace ultimately between God the Father, between heaven and earth, between God the Father and each one of us. Because Jesus dealt with what separates us from God, the reality of our sin and rebellion, and he came to put away sin. We can never forget that. When we share the gospel with people, we say, God loves you. Absolutely true. It's at the heart of the matter to say that God loves you. But sometimes people want to say that's all they want to say to people. Well, what does it mean that God loves you? Well, that God loves you because he sent his son. How do I know that? He sent his son to die for you. Well, why did he die? He died to become a sacrifice for your sin. He died to shed his own blood to take away your sin. Because the sin problem is in you. And the sin problem produces the death problem. Because sin separates us from God, and God is life. And if we're separated from God, we're separated from life, and the opposite of life is death. And that's what we inherit, a kingdom of darkness, if we're not in him. So verse 21, and you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. So again, Paul doubles back here, and he lays hold of the understanding, the default understanding of all of Revelation. What is the basic human condition apart from God that we're born into? We're estranged. We're estranged from the family we were destined to be in, which is to be God's children. We're estranged and distant and estranged from each other. And we're hostile in mind. Hostile to what? Hostile to God. Hostile to God's rule, God's claim on us, his dominion, his design. And friends, it is everywhere now in the culture. People may not call it that, but that's what's happening. The idea in our culture that each human being bears God's image, that we are designed for a purpose, that how we're made reveals our identity to us. God reveals our identity to us, and how he made us is part of how that revelation happens. He made us male and female. And it's clear what family is. It's clear what the meaning of reproduction and human sexuality is all about. It's clear where life comes from. It's clear that God, as God said to us, you know, he gives life and takes it away, not us. We're believing in our culture today the lie that we are the masters. We're our own master. We're our own self-creator. And that anything that him stands in the way of that, even a God, if there is a God, presses in on that or imposes his will or his design, that's offensive to me. And I rebel against it. That's the condition of the human heart. The reason it's showing up now, the spiritual battle that's been going on throughout all time is reaching a kind of peak. I don't know if it's ultimate, final battle. I don't know. But it's big what's going on because we're in a post-Christian world. That means people have pushed Christianity away. Not that they've never received it. There's more people being born now that have never received it, but there's plenty who have who are pushing it away. And the kings of the earth are setting themselves against God's claim, this preeminence of Jesus. That's a hostile mind. That's what Paul's talking about. He is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue in faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the good news, the gospel which you heard, which has been preached to every creature under heaven, in which I, Paul, became a minister. He's done this work for you, for your salvation, friends. We need to lift our eyes to the heavens and receive it, believe it, walk in it, let it be our identity so we can come alive and be a conduit of his grace for the salvation of the world. We have one more day on this week. Hope you can join me tomorrow. Have your friends join as well. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.